sit there and try to get him to eat something or try something. And have you ever noticed nobody's ever really like keeled over and died at our kitchen table for trying something, have they? And sometimes it feels like it, but you know, we just need to try something, and we take some broccoli, maybe we're just like, you know, we're afraid of it. We're afraid to try it, even though nobody keeled over and died from it. You know, fear can be a good thing. Like maybe you're afraid to pick up a scorpion. You know, you're afraid of getting hurt in an auto accident, so you wear your seatbelt. And sometimes fear can be a good thing. And we're aware of that fear. We kind of understand that fear. But there's some fears that we don't even realize are out there. There is fear in every single relationship that we're in. Let me give you a few examples. How about how you dress each and every day? You dress because you're afraid, or you dress, but what you choose to dress in, because you're afraid of what somebody might think of you, right? You want to fit in. So you have a fear of not fitting in, so you choose the clothes that you wear. See, I got a little Hollister shirt, trying to fit in, even though I'm old and bald. Huh? Do I look good? It's better to look good than to feel good. So, so don't we choose that? We even choose sometimes our clothes so we purposely don't fit in, right? But it's we're afraid of what people think of us. Girls, now, have you ever been somewhere with a guy or went somewhere or went on a date, went on a movie, went to a dance with somebody that, you know, you really didn't want to go, but you were afraid of hurting their feelings? Any girls ever do that? Liars. Oh, there's some. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, you know, we're afraid of hurting their feelings. And we just want to fit in. And so after that date, now Courtney raised her hand, but hopefully she doesn't have an answer. Okay, girls, at the end of that night, did you let him kiss you? No? Okay. Okay. I didn't even ask Courtney because her dad's here, so we just kind of... Yeah. How about guys? As guys, have you ever asked a girl out of an obligation, or you felt, how do you think Thorne's dating? I mean, Holly just feels guilty and feels bad for him, so that's the only way Thorne got a date. It's the only way I got married. Have you ever seen my wife? I mean, I married up, baby. She must have felt really bad for me, you know? But she was afraid to hurt my feelings, so she went out with me that one time. I know. Fear is a crazy thing, you know? Every relationship that we're in, every single relationship has fear as part of it. Like underage drinking. If somebody is doing that, you know, they're usually not sitting around their house going, gosh, I am just so thirsty. You know, I'm watching, you know, cartoons. I'm thirsty. I think I'm just going to go. And there's nothing there but a beer. And well, I might as well. That's not how we, you know, kids underage drinking happens, does it? You're somewhere, you haven't made the wise choice, you put yourself in a situation that you shouldn't be in, then somebody offers you a beer and you know it's the wrong choice, but why do you do it? Because you're afraid of what those people are going to think of you. And that's what happens. Girls, you know, I'm going to skip that one, never mind. We only had a couple girls raise their hand on dates, so I'm just going to skip that one. But parents, what's that? Yeah. Parents overreact sometimes, don't they? Do your parents ever overreact? Huh? You know why they overreact? Because they're afraid. They were kids once, and they remember what they did. And they're like overreacting. It's like, you guys know that I wasn't a Christian until just a few years ago, you know, and I made a lot of really poor decisions. So when Dustin gets to be a teenager, I'm going to be just like overreacting, like, you have to be in by 7 o'clock, Dustin. Do you understand me? You have to be in. He's like, but they're coming at 7. I don't care. You have to be in by 7. I can see myself totally overreacting because I'm afraid that he's going to do what I did. And that's why our parents overreact sometimes. Well, what's that? Yeah, I mean, they love you, and they're afraid that something bad's going to happen to them, and they're afraid because they know what they went through, and they don't want you to go through the same thing. So it's fear in both ways. about not knowing what's going to happen in the future. So really, if you think about it, the most logical person to take your fears to is the person that knows the future and can actually do something about it, right? There's only one person, because fear is about anxiety, so we ought to take it to that person, and that one person is God. When we are afraid of something, we need to take it to Him. The problem is that I don't want to take my fears to God because I'm afraid that I'm afraid of what He might want me to do. Now that one may not sink in, and we're gonna camp on that one for a little bit, and I'm gonna tell you what that means. I'm afraid that if I surrender my life to Christ, and that I just might miss, we might miss out on something, might miss out on something, or might miss out on a relationship of some kind. And I'm going to take my fears and carry out my life and my decisions and hope they work out the way I want them to. That's what we do a lot of times, rather than turning our fears over to the one and only person that knows the future and can actually change it. You know, if you turn it over and you're just like, I'm afraid because he might, or I'm afraid that she might, or what they might think. I'm afraid if I turn all my relationships over to Jesus and say, Lord, you just manage my life. You manage this situation. You handle this relationship. I'm afraid that if I turn it over, that he might ask me to do something with it. So what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of right now? What's going on in your life that you're holding on to, that you're afraid of, whether it's a relationship, whether it's something in your life? Do you remember last week Jeff talked about his music? Do you remember that? And he was, I don't even remember the band, some gangsta rap thing, you know? And here he is, a youth pastor, listening to the F-bomb being dropped every other word, right? And he's like, man, but what was, can anybody tell me what Jeff was afraid of? He was afraid of giving up the music that he liked, you know? He's got this music that he knows is wrong. He knows he shouldn't be listening to it. He knows it's not glorifying God. He knows that it's not setting a good example. But he was afraid because he really liked the beat. He really liked the song. And he was afraid if he gave that over to God, that he'd have to give up that music. But what happened? He gave it up, and he found something even better. He found other music that he really liked just as much. And he plays in bands and is great musical talent. So what are you afraid of? You know, I told you guys that, and most of you have heard my story, that I hadn't been a Christian very long. And it was 8 years ago, Father's Day. Well, before that, I call it my BC days, I made a lot of poor choices. And one of those choices was I drank a lot. I drank everything I did surrounded around drinking. And I would go to play hockey. I'd pick up a case of beer on the way and go to the bar afterwards. cut their hair, they changed them in many ways. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were three of these boys. There was a king called Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar had built an altar, built a statue. Thank you. And he decided that, you know, you guys can have your own religions, but I want to know that you worship me above all the rest. So what he did was he built this statue, and he said, anytime you hear the music play, then you need to stop whatever you're doing and bow down to this statue. So one day he's sitting in his office. This is about 600 BC, and he's hanging out in his office, and he pushes a little button to his secretary, and he's like, hey, play that music. I want to see what happens, you know? And he plays the music, and everybody in the city bow down. He's like, that's pretty sweet. We'll try that again tomorrow, you know? And he does it again. Well, he gets a report back from these guys that say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't doing it. They're not bowing down to his idol. So he calls them in, and he's mad at them. And he's like, you know, if you don't do this, I'm going to throw you in the fire, okay? I need to know that you're going to obey me. So in Daniel 3:13, does anybody have a page number? Can you find any page number for me? It's in one of the Bibles here. Should have looked that up. I'll start doing that. Daniel 3:13. It's in the Old Testament. 672. So 3:13. Let's just talk about this for a minute. It says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, it is true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I have set up. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, well then very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a burning furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So he's saying, man, I control your future. You better do what I say or you're going to burn. So these guys were obviously afraid. They had a choice to make. I mean, this isn't just, you know, a little trouble in school. This is bow down to this or I'm throwing you in the fire. So they got a choice to make. And this is where they need to hand it over to God. This is where they are afraid for their lives and they need to give this situation over to God. And so let's just read about their answer. In Daniel 3:16 it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. So here's what they understood, that every one of you need to understand that those moments of fear, when you're afraid, that this is the time that we need to go to God and say, God, I trust in you. In those moments of fear, we need to just turn it over to him. Even though we don't know what God will do, we have no idea what God's going to do, we do know what God is able to do. We know what he's able to do. And only your Heavenly Father controls the future. Only our Heavenly Father can change the minds of people. Only our Heavenly Father knows what will happen and can control it. So who else would we go to 7 times hotter than usual. I mean, he's like, it goes to 10, he's turning up 12, baby. He's turning up the heat. And commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing fire. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like the son of gods or an angel." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and their straps, perfect governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies. Not a hair on their heads were singed, their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." So, see, they trusted God. They even said, "My